Welcome one and all to the HBO Boys podcast, Moon Knight, Season 1, Episode 2, Summon the Suit. Directed by Benson and Moorhead, who will also be directing the majority of Loki Season 2, apparently, and written by Michael Callestine. That's not how you say his name. Story editor of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we will not hold against him yet.
Ryan, yeah, you said it wrong. It's Howdy Dream Cowboys.
Love that joke every time you do it. Anyway.
It's not. But
Howdy, Moon Knight Cowboys.
That wasn't a joke. That was the regular line.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like we haven't been doing it lately.
No, you haven't.
No.
It hasn't been happening.
You haven't done it in a very long time.
Yeah, it has just, I mean, to be fair, it was very attached to the Westworld podcast. And when we do Westworld once more, I'm for sure gonna say hello to the within brain while you're sleeping cow people. But for right now, while we're discussing another Marvel show on the HBO Boys, I suppose we'll just jump right in over the tick-tock of the intro music. And as you recently heard, Chad is here. Hi, Chad.
I'm here, guys. I'm not dead.
That's positive. Adam is also here.
I'm here. We missed your comic book prowess last time.
Yes, very useful comic book prowess. I've been teetering on the edge of my comic knowledge for the last like three shows. So
sure, yeah. Well, hold on to your butts, because Chad, local comic book expert, and also the one of us who's an HBO boy who reads them. James does sometimes too, but he posits that Chad knows more. A few questions for you, Chad, right off the bat.
Sure, yeah. I'll be happy to lie.
Right. Moon Knight comics. Tell me everything you know.
Moon Knight comics are comic books starring the character Moon Knight.
Wow. This is riveting.
Isn't it?
Good stuff. Glad you're here.
He's basically Batman.
Sure.
But he has multiple personality disorder.
My second question was, he's just Batman, right?
I mean, he's not really, no.
I haven't gotten a big Batman vibe quite yet, but I don't really know his backstory either. So.
Well, I mean, the thing that makes Batman Batman isn't the fact that he's like the nighttime superhero. It's that he's like super rich and like kind of insane and has all the gadgets and whatnot. And that's not Moon Knight. Moon Knight is like an ancient Egyptian like super warrior who happens to go out at night, but that's only because he's empowered by the god of the moon. You know, there's no utility belt on Moon Knight.
Right, he's just
frankly, a bright white suit is the worst thing for like night stealth.
Right.
I would retort to that by saying, you described Batman as a rich gadget using vigilante. Stephen Grant in the comic books is the billionaire personality. And I assume in reality, Mark Spector / Jake Lockley, the cab driver in the comic, / Stephen Grant, the billionaire in the comic, actually does probably have $1 billion. Maybe he's lying. I don't know. I haven't read enough about it. But also, he absolutely has gadgets. He takes them out of his chest. Ninja stars, but they're moons.
That's true too. Out of his chest,
he does have the moons. But no, it's more like he has like magically empowered weapons. It's not like he's not going to pull out shark repellent.
I'm just saying the creators of Moon Knight were like, yeah, we sort of did rip off Batman, but he's different. See, these are the reasons why. So I don't think it's something we have to discuss further.
Fair enough.
Right.
And he's Egyptian.
This podcast isn't about comparing Batman to Moon Knight.
It's a lot about that, actually, to be fair, which is why I'm like, let's not. So as we enter episode 2, oh yeah, before we do, I will ask, hey, so Chad, do you like the show so far?
Yeah.
Describe further as to why.
I think that they're creating a compelling collection of characters. I think that they are doing a good job telling a story that's not directly tied to the rest of the MCU, which arguably is one of the problems that the other shows has. And I think it might feel different because this is the first character that we're introduced to entirely in a show. Every other show that we've gotten has been you know, this is Loki from Thor, or this is Wanda from the Avengers, and this is Hawkeye from Hawkeye. Boom. But Moon Knight, we have no context for. So they kind of are able to shed any of there are no former stories or character tropes that they need to fill because it's a new character. So it's kind of interesting to see them, you know, take on a project like this. I also think just in general, you guys kind of crapped all over this in the last episode, but
what?
I think that he's a character that has an internal struggle, which is something that we don't see a lot of in the MCU. I mean, there are characters that have internal struggles, but it's manifested in like an external struggle. I'm speaking specifically to
his mental illness,
WandaVision. Oh. Well, yeah. But in WandaVision, you know, Wanda has, you know, these issues and she creates a world that she can deal with them. In this one, it's him against himself. And then as part of that, there's all this other like Egyptian god mumbo jumbo going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost two separate conflicts.
Of course it is. So like, I have a lot of things. One, Oscar Isaac did describe this show as like one of the first Marvel character studies ever since Iron Man 1, because you have no context for the character whatsoever, so you can do a real character study. Number two, I wouldn't describe what we were doing as crapped all over it. I would say that we were having a broad discussion on the use of mental illness in entertainment and the morality of said choice. And then after that, I didn't ask the question. I was just saying, you know, is it fucked up? And I think the easy answer is like, yeah, a little bit.
It teeters on the fence.
I think the real answer is a bit more complex than that, though.
Of course, it's more complex than four words. But what I think is a more interesting question is the use of mental illness in a character to cause an intro. No, so you brought up WandaVision. And Wanda specifically, you brought up, I mean, you could bring up any of the Avengers post Infinity War, post, you know, many of their friends dying, half the world disappearing, and they were dealing with what I would describe as a form of PTSD, right?
Probably, yeah.
Traumatic experiences, incredibly traumatic experiences. So not having a form of post-traumatic stress disorder would be just insane, or you'd have to be completely delusional. That is not the same as having a mind-breaking backstory so that you now have multiple personalities, a trope used in entertainment for a very long time flippantly, because it does, if you want to be honest with yourself, make a character much more interesting.
So in the Discord, though, I posited a comparison to Daredevil, who has a physical disability, but nobody complains that he's misrepresenting the blind community. Or a Hawkeye, who, granted, in the movies and shows we haven't seen it so much, is a deaf icon.
No, how come? I think it's because, listen, I'm not saying like the character made a choice to be blind. The character made a choice to have multiple personality disorder. I'm not blaming the character. I'm blaming the writers like for being like, oh man, we have a lot of characters and a lot of superheroes who can like see and shit. What if?
Like, well, sure, but at the same time, if I was dealing with dissociative identity disorder, which is the correct name for the disorder, geez, be a little considerate.
Shut the fuck up. One. Number two, listen, I'm not trying to fucking high horse you right now, of course, okay? If I was writing 30 years of comic books and I was like, we are the fuck out of ideas, give them 80,000 personalities, make them real kooky. One's a cab driver, one's a billionaire. Like, of course, at some point you got to be like, we don't have any goddamn ideas. This one's blind. This one's deaf. This one can only shoot arrows and somehow we're just going to give him a whole show for no goddamn reason.
Oh my God. Strike that one from the record. Come on now.
No, I'm just saying, like at some point it was because they had no other better ideas, so they flippantly used a mental illness and blindness and whatever they could pull out.
That's conjecture. You don't know that that's the case.
Well, of course, was this? It's a podcast, Chad. This is all conjecture.
When was the original Moon Knight comic release? Like, when did this character debut?
I'm going to go with 1974.
Is that accurate? Or are you just throwing a number?
No, he's absolutely just guessing, but it's 1975, so that's pretty fucking close.
Pretty damn close. Now, did this dissociative identity disorder, like, I'm sure it maybe have been known, but was it as mainstream, I guess, in air quotes, as
being
enough
blind
to where we're talking about it? No, but I mean, like, you know, was it as big of an issue when this first came out, where it people weren't touching on them being insensitive?
Listen, this is also conjecture, all of it is, but I will say, I think on like a broad stroke basis, in the 1970s, mental illness was not as easily discussed as it is today, and it's still not that easy today.
True.
I don't even think the issue is about exploitation. I think the issue is about like
exploitation.
No, because I don't feel like so the argument here is that you can't write a character with a mental illness without it being some form of exploitation. But isn't it kind of uplifting to see a character who has a disorder that you might have, who becomes a superhero?
Yes, which I believe was Adam's point last week.
Yeah, it's like bringing awareness almost.
Yeah, and it's valid. I think you just have to have the context of that uplifting character that makes a little kid feel good might make a adult feel bad, and at the same time fill the pockets of Disney executives. So I think it all, like, as long as you understand all of that, it shouldn't make the show worse. You should be able to have a opinion on the show that is independent of all of that. But at the same time, oh God, I'm bored. I'm bored now.
Really? I think this is the most interesting conversation we've had on this podcast.
Right. That is indicative of what you feel is good and what I feel is good.
Where are the explosions?
Yeah, that's mean against me. Fuck you. Anyway, after being fired. Oh, wait. An ad. There's an ad now. After being fired for seemingly damaging the museum, Grant uses the key card to find a storage facility containing the Scarab. Stephen Grant, that is. Grant's reflection tells him that he is Mark Spector, another identity living in Grant's body, an American mercenary and the current avatar of the Egyptian moon god Khonsu, who is the Kenku, who's really tall, following Stephen Grant / Mark Spector around.
He's not a Kenku.
He's very tall and he kind of looks like a crow. What are you going to do? He's white, but that's racial profiling and you're a racist.
Everything in the Moon Knight verse is wrapped in white cotton linen.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, that is weird.
Well, it's, you know, it's very Egyptian. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, his hood is too pointy.
It's, yeah.
Oh, come on.
So.
Wow.
Let's just put another ad in there.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good call. Here's another progressive ad. We know it's interesting. It's been a progressive ad recently, and when you put a mid ad and a post ad, I was like, there'll be two different ads. It's not. It's the same one.
It's the same one.
Twice. A slightly interesting fact. So the comic book is mainly set in New York City, at least once he becomes Moon Knight, that is. They put it in London specifically because they were like, we've been in New York City too much.
Yeah, I read about that. I'm glad, because so many Marvel superheroes are in New York City. You'd think they'd run into each other more often.
Yeah, right. Should be Spider-Maning through. Oh, hey, what's up, Tony Stark?
God, describing my top three largest gripes with any superhero universe.
Right.
In the Defenders, they literally discover like the bones of a dragon under New York City. Like, everything is in New York City.
I know, that's nuts.
Including dragons.
It is the melting pot of the United States.
Right, yeah.
what are the odds that would be the place that the world's largest city, well, not anymore.
It's not the largest city anymore?
What is, no. Dubai?
Tokyo.
By population?
By population.
Oh. That's crazy, man. Kuala Lumpur. Caesar Pulley, the world's tallest building. I only learned from commercials.
I said a commercial. Yeah.
I don't even remember what the commercial was for.
About two buildings.
Yeah. Designed by Caesar Pally.
Spectre tries to convince Grant to let him resume control of their body, but Grant refuses and flees. Another being chased by a giant Kenku scene occurs.
Giant Kenku.
Not a Kenku.
I just learned what Kenkus are. I'm going to say it a lot. I don't know what to tell you. Then Stephen Grant is confronted by Layla, Spectre's wife, who was unaware of Grant's existence before being arrested by police officers working for Haro. So, interesting, Spectre was able to hide his disorder from his wife. I don't know how long they were together, but obviously if she doesn't know that his other personalities exist, he successfully hid it from her for a very long time. And then I wonder what broke him. Like, what made Stephen occur him move from New York to London and be like, I live in a flat now.
And change accents, right?
Layla also says, so you're talking to your mom again? Because he mentions his mother. I assumed he was just bonkers and talking to nobody while on the phone. And that will be a piece of information we get later. Thoughts? Do you think so?
No, I think that the Mark character is the second character, like the second person in his body. And the reason why he made up a story about why he doesn't talk to his mom is because it would bring a bunch of questions.
Yeah, but Stephen Grant is on the phone with his mom all the time. I'm saying, yeah. Is nobody on the phone or is somebody on the phone?
Is he just talking to himself?
I think someone's on the phone. Why not?
Who's his mom?
His mom.
All right, right on.
Could be.
Everyone's got a mom, guys. Everyone's got a mom.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, is his mom real?
Is it assumed that Stephen Grant is persona number one? Persona?
We'll call him Moon Prime.
Moon Prime.
In the comic books, Mark Spector is Moon Prime for sure.
Yeah, he's the one that controls the suit.
He's the original. Mark Spector was in the comic books, guy who joined the Marines, guy who got dishonorably discharged from the Marines, guy who would eventually die at the base of a Khonshu statue in Egypt after getting super stabbed and then turning, and then he would create, what did I just say? I just read this, Jack something or other, a cab driver, and in the comics, Stephen Grant, the billionaire, although that's obviously not what he is in this show.
Right. Do you think this is going to go to like a Winter Soldier program or something?
Describe further what you mean by that.
Well, like, you know, he was a military man and now he's got like, you know, memory issue. Like he doesn't know what he's done, you know.
See, the show is kind of hinting to me that there was Stephen, and then kind of, sorry, I'm really bad with names. I'm going to call him Kenku.
Kenku. So you're into it.
he found him and like made him his avatar, but like Stephen couldn't handle it, so he created this Mark persona to be the avatar of the Kenku. And that's kind of what I got, because I forget the line exactly, but it was something like, I can summon the suit, so can you.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. In which he did.
Yes.
Sorta.
Yeah, another version summoned it.
Summoned a suit.
A delightful suit, literal suit.
Yeah, apparently a little bit like the mask in that moment where the suit can be whatever I feel at any given time.
Kind of great, actually.
That would be a bold move, Cotton, because it would be changing the canon of the comic book a lot.
Well, they're not scared to do that. The Mandarin in Shang-Chi is totally different.
Yes. Mandarin in Iron Man 3. Don't blame Shang-Chi.
Both iterations of the Mandarin are not anything like they are in the comics.
I'm aware. I'm just saying Iron Man 3 did this to us, okay? Shang-Chi is enabling him, but I like one of those movies and I don't like the other one, so like, whatever.
Just needed a little Ben Kingsley in our lives. That was the way to
do it. Yeah, him in a very cute, eventual stuffed animal.
Stuffed animal with no eyes. Trevor.
Yeah, Shang-Chi was great.
I know. I loved it so much.
It was so good.
I wanted more of it. That'd be really cool. He goes to Haro, and Haro reveals that he was Khonshu's previous avatar. Everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked, until he chose to follow Amit, Haro, that is, instead, and that he seeks the Scarab to find her tomb and resurrect her so that she can purge humanity of evil.
In an attempt to confuse the listeners even more. Perfect. With this recap.
Yeah.
Why do you keep on talking about Avatar?
Because
the Avatar.
Yeah, the last Airbender.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause the word avatar was on this page, and I read that, and I was like,
and they said
man.
It in the
and
show.
Also they said the word avatar a bunch in the show, and and then I read it on this piece of paper, and I was like, Avatar of the Last Airbender is the same. Also, you know what? Good point. He should, instead of turning into the Moon Knight, turn into a 9-foot-tall blue dude.
No, we don't need any more. It's been 10 years.
They're making 6 more.
I hate it.
That avatar.
I know which avatar you're talking about. I recently just said, and everything changed with the Fire Nation attacks, which was a joke because the word avatar means separate things. And you hate it, apparently.
And there's 3 separate avatar references here.
Yeah.
Guys, aren't you glad I'm back?
Yeah. Yeah. This dynamic was truly missed. So I wonder, though, what happened? What initiated the change from Haro to Mark as the Avatar? Like, was Haro there at the, in comic canon, Egyptian set piece where Mark's character, or Mark dies, and or Steven dies, however they want to do it? I know that the main villain, or at least the oldest rival of Mark Spector in the comic books, is a character they chose not to put in the show because they said he was too much like Killmonger in Black Panther. So maybe they just took that character and was like, you're Haro now. Be that.
And didn't they say Haro was the first? Was he the first one or the best one? That's why he got that, the cane thing, the power cane?
No. He was no longer Khonshu's avatar. He either chose that or was exiled by Khonshu due to some action or reason.
But didn't they say it was because of, like, their only reason he had that staff was because he was either the first one or the better servant or whatever?
No, staff
is... Yeah.
You're about to say it, Chad. You say it.
Yeah, the staff belongs to Khonshu's, like, mortal enemy.
Amit.
It's like a little bit of the power of the god that he's trying to release, and it's the god who drops judgment on people before it's the Minority Report god.
Right. Oh, gotcha. Yes, that's a good point. It does feel like Haro was rejected in some way for some reason by Khonshu, and he was like, fuck you, you can't fire me, I quit. Also, I'm going to work for our biggest competitor.
Yeah, right. Who likes to kill children?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things Amit does, Chad.
It's just part of destiny.
She does other things.
Interestingly, my wife is very into mythology, and she's really enjoying all these references to all these Egyptian deities. And there's a lot of, like, real background and stuff that's kind of interesting. Like Mot is, you know, has the... It seems like they're kind of combining multiple deities. Because there's Mot, who is the... who judges people. And then if she judges you to be bad, then she feeds you to her crocodile.
Nice.
Who I believe... Yeah.
Lovely.
Which they kind of... I think they kind of merged those two gods together. Because they said Amit is like a female crocodile lady.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Person.
Yeah. You know what? Do you, Marvel. Okay?
Yeah, they're taking some liberties.
Did they make a super Egyptian god? It's,
I just love that they're interjecting... the Egyptian, you know, culture
lore, baby.
Into this. I love it. I love it so much.
I want more
Egyptian.
More. You both are doing a decent Khonshu impression, and I refuse to lay mine down, so, because I'm embarrassed. Mine won't be as good. Layla rescues Grant, but Haro summons another jackal monster. What was the term last week? Adam, Anubis, like
Anubis,
like Anubis, adjacent jackal monster or something. Fuck.
You're right.
Wikipedia is so shit. I like it so much.
It's so bad.
Grant manages to summon a magical suit like Spectre's instead of giving up his body and complaining for 35 minutes that he's afraid and doesn't wanna, and then subsequently fights the jackal but is overpowered and eventually allows Spectre to take control because he figures out, oh hey, I'm not as good at fighting. And there are a few things here. This was about the time I had my first problem with the show, albeit minor.
Oh no.
I know. I hate when characters are given a set of evidence that only points towards one logical conclusion and are like, nope, fuck that. It's what makes me hate people who suck at D&D. Now, this is also a perfect example of a character making an in-character choice. Steven is not supposed to give up his freedom, right? He doesn't want to. He's afraid and cagey. Like, that's his whole deal. It's not supposed to be easy to convince him that everyone's life is in danger and he is not the one who can be helpful, but his alter ego can be. So just like, give it up already, you dumb, dumb idiot boy. But for the love of God, there were 20 minutes there where I was like, dude, you're in over your head. Please realize this. Like, you are doing no one any favors. And at the same time, I was like, it wouldn't make sense for him to be like, oh, okay. Now that sounds good. Right. But like the eighth time someone almost gets impaled, I'm like, oh God, now are you going to do it? And he was like, no, I'm in a cool suit now and I'm going to jump around in the street.
He even said, like, look around you. People are going to die.
Inject some Marvel humor into this moment. I could just see James watching the scene where he's like fighting nothing in the street and being like,
I actually quite liked that scene.
I thought it was fine too.
Yeah,
I don't know. I suppose I wanted him to figure it out faster, but in retrospect, I feel fine about it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think I kind of like put yourself in his situation. He just discovered that this other guy exists. He's being chased by like a demon dog monster. He thinks he's losing his mind. The last thing that he would want to do is like dive into the unknown and let a stranger take over his body.
Yeah, arrest control completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like literally be a bystander in his own life when he's supposed to be fighting this, like, you know, Anubis jackal dog, whatever you guys called it.
Anubis adjacent jackal monster, something like that.
That's so dumb.
It's so stupid. Anyway, Mark Spector is here and he is ready to slap dick. Spector kills the jackal but loses the scarab to Haro, who picks it up, and Layla sees that and then just like tiny little scooters away.
Vespas away.
We can only assume that Amit will be summoned at some point in this show. Like, it feels like we're going to get there, perhaps in the season finale. Like, that's the set piece. And then, like, the Celestials and the Eternals cause a huge worldwide problem that the Avengers won't show up to for some reason, except for one mystery Avenger who was previously announced to cameo in this show, which we have to discuss who that might be.
I hope it's not Captain Marvel. I'll be so mad.
It can't be Captain. Yeah, maybe it is.
I'll be so mad.
We can talk about it now. Who do you think it's going to be?
Hawkeye.
Fuck.
Oh, I really don't want it to be Captain Marvel, but I have this weird suspicion that it might be Captain Marvel.
No, it's going to be White Vision.
Oh. Ooh. That'd be cool.
Yeah, because he's going to be like trying to get information. He's trying to learn. Like last time we saw him, he was having an existential crisis.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he go to, you know, learn about ancient Egyptian mythology to try to figure out like try to finally answer that question about the ship.
And Moon Knight and White Vision rather look similar, don't they?
Yeah. Let's get all the white characters together.
White power. I think it might be.
Jesus.
I think it might be the Winter Soldier, also white, very snowy. Just because.
Winter, in fact.
I don't know. Sebastian Stan is a huge star right now, and so is Oscar Isaac. Putting them next to each other makes a whole lot of sense. But I do hope it's White Vision. I didn't have that in my mind, but now I do.
I think it's going to be definitely someone from the Marvel show universe rather than the full-blown MCU. Or did they say it was going to be from someone from the movie MCU?
They did not specify.
Rather than no? It would be interesting. White Vision, I think you might be onto something there.
We should just call him Vision, right?
Yeah, well...
He's just his Vision.
It's reincarnated Vision, or Vision's dead corpse body?
Let's call him Blurred Vision.
Oh, no, I'm going to call him... that is good.
Double Vision.
Wow, that's better. You're right.
No, they should call him Cataract.
You're getting worse.
Why? Because he's
listen,
white?
Listen, guys, you have to understand when you reach the mountaintop, okay? You don't just keep going, okay? You just fall down the mountain. Also, I'm going to call him
like
Vision.
Foreigner.
Vision 2.0.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's floating around somewhere. He's one of the strongest Avengers. They got to do something with him.
Maybe it's just Doctor Strange. And they're like, yeah, he's in everything. I don't know.
Yeah, he'll be part of the Marvel or the Multiverse of Madness. We'll see a crossover to Moon Knight.
I guess, I mean, they're in Egypt now, so it could be someone from Black Panther.
Or he could be going to New York at the end and it's Spider-Man.
Oh boy.
That would be cool.
it's the power broker.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh shit, the power broker, guys.
The power broker.
She's back.
It's Kingpin. That'd be sick. Anyway.
That would be great.
Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio is fucking back, baby. He certainly.
What if it's like the Punisher? What if they like throw like a random.
Or Blade? Or no, well.
John Bernthal just comes in. This is his first debut in the MCU.
Actually, Blade just had one, right? He was at the end of the Eternals. Anyway, that was my initial point, which was. Hey, there's going to be like a giant god summoned in Egypt and then none of the Avengers are going to show up again. And I hate it.
What if it's like Gilgamesh? Oh, no, he's dead.
Right.
Oh, I liked him.
Right. Oh, you know what? It could be Wong. Could be Wong. Or Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Could be Shang-Chi too.
Ooh, Shang-Chi would be good.
That'd be sick.
I'm still hinging on Double Vision.
Ooh.
I would love Vision to show up.
I would like the Vision to show up. I like the Vision.
I think I would as well. Khonshu then angrily confronts Spectre, who promises to find Amit's tomb before Haro does. Khonshu then threatens to claim Layla as his next avatar should Spectre fail, before sending Spectre to Egypt. Khonshu is a dick.
Mm.
I really like Panda Sneeze Exploder.
Nice.
I think
love that from you, buddy.
I think he's funny. I love his character design. I think he's great.
Oh, I think the character design is so cool. I like it so much. I think he's a little annoying.
Skullhead
monster. I think he's a little annoying.
Oh no! His head is floating, and there's like cobwebs connecting it to his body. That's so cool.
I love it.
I need more context on Khonshu. I need more to understand his motivation. Yes. Like I need, I know what he is trying to do is for a greater good, but I know Amit is going to say the same thing that she is killing babies for the greater good. All fucking evil characters say that shit.
This brings in a classic conundrum: do you kill baby Hitler?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, 100%.
No, Chad. I choose the Holocaust.
Had you have known what the future would be? 100%.
Oh my God, throw him in the river.
Okay, gone. so how many Hitlers does it take to be okay to kill a baby?
to eat a Kit Kat bar? No, wait, what is it? Lick a lollipop?
Get the Tootsie Roll Center.
Yeah. Eat a Kit Kat bar, fuck me in the ass.
They didn't pay their parking ticket? Is that like you don't get to live past one?
You're right, that's like the same level as a genocide.
No, I'm saying...
Where's the line in the sand? Genocide.
Where's the line?
I think
it's right after genocide.
So, given the
knowledge of what history has proven, and you were able to go back in time, 100% that baby's dead.
Well, I'm not okay. Hitler was just an example to get the conversation started.
Understood.
So they're killing people, children who are going to do bad things.
Yeah.
Do we think that's okay?
No, I mean, and Moon Knight says that. They're like, so free will, like the free will is a large discussion in the Marvel universe. Yeah. They talk about it constantly because they turn their backs on free will as writers in the Marvel universe constantly. They have time travel, motherfucker. Okay, Loki's in the goddamn ether doing universe shit and being like talking to Jonathan Majors. Ooh, maybe it will be Jonathan Majors. That would be interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, like the question of do these characters truly have free will is, I would say no. There are gods in this goddamn world. There are celestials in the sky. There's a Amit, and there's a Khonshu, and there's a whole swath of things that are externally exerting force on all of these superheroes' lives. But at the same time, does that mean you do nothing? I suppose not.
I feel like this conversation went in a direction.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out how much Hitler needs to be in a baby's feet. Yeah, how much Hitler does it take for it to be okay to kill a baby?
51%.
51%.
50, yeah, just that majority.
About 51% Hitler in the recipe. You throw that in the trash.
What I'm hearing is Thanos did nothing wrong.
Wow, Chad.
I mean, you know, he was trying to improve life on the planet.
Yeah, but he only killed half of people. That's 50%.
Yeah, so exactly.
You know what? You're right.
The 51
you know
percentile.
What? Chad, you got me. 49.9%. That's my new answer. And it's a math problem is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Not human lives.
I, for one,
am anti-genocide.
I'm anti-genocide.
Wow, what a stand you've made. This line in the sand is a bold move.
Also, hold on. I'm also against infanticide. So,
oh, killing babies?
Yeah, I'm against that.
You don't like it?
Infanticide. I literally, the first thing that my brain went to was a Disney movie.
Wow, that is a Disney
like
movie.
Like Fantasia? I was like, infanticide? What the fuck? Oh, that's baby deaths.
Do you know? Well, do you know? Almost every ride, I think every ride at Disney World or no Disneyland, it is probably is about death. Like, it's on some level.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, Walt Disney was kind of crazy.
How much Hitler did Walt Disney have in him? Is it enough?
Right. More than 1%.
More than one, but less than 49.9.
Probably.
I don't know. We got to talk to Amit.
Yeah, we got to talk to Amit. We got to do a long research paper about this. This is our thesis. HBO boys now have a thesis that no
Although
one
he
will
did,
read.
He created the happiest place on Earth. Maybe that was compensation for something.
The happiest place on Earth has their own military.
No. Well, you needed to keep it happy, Chad.
Right, yeah. Right.
You needed to enforce the happy.
It's assembly line whimsy. You got to keep that cranking.
Assembly line whimsy is just as good a saying as Anubis adjacent jackal monster.
Yeah. That sounds like a metal band's album.
Oh. It does.
We are Anubis adjacent jackal monster.
And our first album is Assembly Line Whimsy.
Yeah, dude, that's sick. That's sick. Okay, so after we do our thesis, metal band.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Anyway, Moon Knight. Did we... So I will say the Moon Knight pilot was my favorite pilot of any Disney Plus show about Marvel up to that point.
Yeah.
I think the second episode is worse, but that's just because that it had an incredibly high bar to reach. And so it being worse isn't all that bad. But I will say that after the pilot, I was like, oh yeah, that's my favorite Disney Plus Marvel show so far. Like, if it stays at this quality, which was, I knew, impossible at the time, it was going to be my favorite one. After the second one, I think it's like up there for sure. I like it better than Falcon. I like it better than Hawkeye. I think I like it better than Loki. WandaVision is, I think, still like right there. It's like on par with WandaVision for me
so
at the moment.
I think I'm a little worried that they gave us too much this episode.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the second episode of WandaVision, like, I think that the first two episodes of WandaVision is superior to the first two episodes of Moon Knight, but I think that Moon Knight had a stronger first episode. And that's because at the end of the second episode of WandaVision, you get just like a hint, just like a little twist in the show that makes you realize, like, oh, there's some real shit going on here.
Mm.
And it really ups the intrigue. I'm a little worried that they might have given us too much too soon on Moon Knight.
WandaVision, though, also had a narrative structure that was different from all of the other shows on Disney Plus, the Marvel version of it, at least. They were doing parodies of tropes, which was injected into, hey, what's going on with Wanda? She going nuts in there? And because of that, they were able to leak information way slower in WandaVision than any of the other shows, because they had a lot of stuff to focus on that wasn't lore, wasn't background knowledge that we were supposed to get slowly but surely.
Right. And I understand, like, the nature of Moon Knight, because, like, they got to get to the Marvel-y part of the show. They got to give us more information up front just because of how it is. But I'm concerned, I guess, that episode 3, we will notice the decline in quality because that level of, like, what is going on? Who is Mark? What's this guy chasing him? This Kenku chasing him? like, what's, you know, that mystery, now that it's been for the most part solved, now we're just kind of spackling cracks.
Nice.
There's not really a mystery anymore.
I agree. I think I would not be surprised at all if there was a mid-season lull in Moon Knight, and then the finale was dope. Although I will say, him waking up with a bottle of booze in his hand, shirtless in Egypt, was pretty gnarly. It's a good way to end the second episode.
I loved it.
And the third episode is assumably going to be in Egypt. And I don't know if we're going to get the third part of his personality within the first season. But like, if he's in Egypt and then he's a third guy all of a sudden, then third episode lit. No worries, baby.
Wait, so you think that the guy who woke up in the end was Steve in?
No. I think
That's Mark still.
Still Mark. That was
still Mark. Yeah,
in fact, okay, my favorite part of the episode was when Steven was in the mirror and was like, oh, this is what this is like. I don't like this one bit.
That made me feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah, which is good shit.
Yeah, that's intentional, clearly. Yeah,
if a show can elicit like a real emotion,
it's any doing of them, right. Yeah.
When any, except for disgust.
No, that's fine too, honestly. When Steven is
well, then
like,
you must love Hawkeye.
Oh, no. That's Ooh. Different. No. I resent the people who make Hawkeye, and I feel disgust for just like subjecting myself to it. I'm not disgusted by the show. Kingpin's pretty sweet. I like that part. Fuck Jeremy Renner. Anyway, the point is that I don't remember the point, Chad, and you fucked me.
And that's the end, right? We're going to cut right there.
I guess. No.
You guys were talking about WandaVision, right? And that was the first Marvel show, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for like the Netflix things and Agents.
Well, yeah, I'm talking like true MCU show. And it did that have six episodes as well, or was it longer? I feel like it was 10. Also,
the Inhumans as well.
Listen, if Kevin Feige retconned it, it doesn't exist.
No, there's rumors that Black Bolt's going to be in the Illuminati, but that's near the end.
I have never heard a sentence I understand less.
There were eight episodes in WandaVision.
There was eight episodes. So they had two more episodes to fill time. So it was slower. I think there was a mystery to it, like you said, that was intriguing to watch. And like, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen. You said this show was going a little too quick. I think we're going to see this Ahmet character very soon. Mm. I don't think it's going to wait till the end. I think we're going to see it third, fourth episode, maybe, because he's in Egypt now. I feel like we're going to get a glimpse. Maybe not full on yet, but I think we're going to meet that person.
That's interesting.
I feel like it's moving a little quick.
We're a third through the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So
it's only six episodes.
We're going to be halfway after next week's episode. Exactly. So it's a byproduct of not the show going too fast. It's the show not having enough episodes. And also, by the way, you know, that's complete conjecture. We have no idea. We're only in episode two and check back after episode three. If we're like, fuck, that was too much. Was that a finale ? That is the other thing. I think it can be on either side of the spectrum of like, okay, they let the cat out of the bag. The second episode was a slight decline, and then the third, they just had nothing else to give us, and it felt forced and weird. Or we could get to the end of the third episode and be like, was that a finale? Ahmet's here. His balls have hit Mark's face, literally and figuratively. A Anubis adjacent jackal monster. They're everywhere now. And then it was like a weird cliffhanger ending. So is that over? Is this in two parts?
Did they say anything about season two for the show yet?
I think Oscar Isaac dodged a long-term contract. So he would need to re-sign
for this show. But he's going to be in MCU for a number of years though, right?
Kevin Feige has not announced, but said at some point that he wants Moon Knight to be around for a very long time. The problem is Oscar Isaac is one of the biggest stars in the world. He's not only Poe Dameron, but I mean, good thing for Kevin Feige. He, spoiler alert, Dune isn't going to be in more of those movies. Well, actually.
Right. maybe.
He might be in flashbacks. And the way Dune works with characters is they can die, but they can just not be dead anyway.
Oh, so, you just spoiled Dune.
I spoiled Dune for everybody.
I had no idea.
Oh, no.
I don't honestly care.
Now I know Oscar Isaac's in it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think I said this in the Dune podcast. My least favorite thing about the Dune movies is going to be the character I hated the most, I know from the books, is around forever. And dies and dies and is back and comes back and dies and comes back and just never disappears. And I didn't know that until after the first movie was on. And I was like, oh, thank God that guy is dead. What? What?
He comes. So here's the thing.
Why?
He said he wants Moon Knight to be in the MCU a lot. And we've already established, even in just these two episodes, that the mantle can be passed from person to person.
Ugh, gross. Ooh. You're right. Ooh. I hate that.
Good point.
It's going to be Lucy. She can be around forever. She's not Poe Dameron, though. And by the way, I say that with like some sort of false reverence. Oscar Isaac, great in those Star Wars movies. Actual trash.
What, Poe Dameron the character?
No, those movies.
Oh, the movies. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Those movies were very bad.
Yeah, that's not a controversial statement.
Not the best ones.
Anyway.
So that's a podcast, right? We did it?
Yeah, wrap it up.
I think... wrap it up like Moon Knight's wraps from Egypt.
Okay, now you do it.
Jars.
You're right, Adam. Do a wrap to finish us out.
I'm on the spot. This is terrible. I don't know what's going on. I'm unbearable.
Nice.
Things going down. I don't know what's happening. We just killed this podcast.
And now I'm rapping in. Anubis adjacent jackal monster.
Assembly line whimsy.
Oh, man. I can't wait till our album comes out. It's going to be This is going to be fucking weird. Our second album's 49.9% Hitler.
Jesus.
So what would happen if the Venom symbiote jumped on Moon Knight?
We talked to you listened to the first episode, right?
What?
Of this podcast?
Yes, I did.
What?
Yeah, two separate narrators who are fighting each other at the same time.
No. But also, like, is the suit gray?
Oh, yeah, you're asking...
Gray Knight?
Yeah, you're asking the tough questions.
Grainum.
Like
Moon Venom.
Noon. Venom Moon? That sounds like a perfume.
Moon. Works 60% of the time, every time.
Okay, well, that your rap was going to be the end of it, but then we kept talking and it was slightly interesting. You have to rap again.
No, I refuse.
But just do it, though.
And...
Okie doke. You seem like you got this all under control, so I'm going to go to my booze waterfall and fill up the old choosing chalice. BRB!
Wait, you're leaving? No. Don't. Good boy. Nice boy. You have very big everything. Cool. No, you stay over there. You stay over there. Oh, my God. Okay, running. I'm not good at running. Okay? Get it. No. Come on. No. Down.
Ooh, a fat beat. Well, isn't this a surprise?
Tank Murderfist made the beat. And that's me. I'm Tank Murderfist. Yeah.
The name's Professor Phineas Whistlepig, but you can call me Prof P for short, because I am short, like a gnome. Toga, this beat positively slaps. Anyway, like I've said a bunch, I'm a very tiny gnome, and I'm rapping off the dome. I made this beat my home. I'm a very tiny gnome. Don't catch me in my zone. I welcome you to Nothing Star, where I drink upon my throne. I used to drink that swill that I stole from Ragone, but now I drink that cape wine and it fills my tiny bones. Arthur Stratton is a bitch. He won't leave me alone, and soon I'll throw him in a ditch. May Toga brush my lizard. I hope he's not a sandwich. Going to Fenwick later. I hope I meet a bad witch. Whistlepig, oh yeah, Whistlepig.
Get back here! You get back here!
I'm saying Whistlepig. Whistlepig, oh yeah, Whistlepig.
Tell this giant lizard to stop murdering me.
Whistlepig. There's nine of me in total. I can't tell you all the escapades that we do, the anecdotal. Gonna make up a word, now here it comes. Floatal! I just looked it up, it's not made up. It means floating hotel. That's my bad. That's really my B. People make mistakes all the time. A little different when you're too OP like me, though. Earth used to have 8 moons, then one day I sneezed. Poof! 1 moon! Well, BRB, chorus time.
I'm a very tiny gnome, and I'm rapping off the dome. I made this beat my home. I'm a very tiny gnome. I'm a very tiny gnome. and I'm rapping off the dome.